Daf is Daf Chaf Hey. So we got to the last few lines of Chaf Dalet Amar Beis. The Gemara will repeat the Gemara that said from around 10 lines up. Amar Abai, Abai says, Akol modim b'kili akerim shalokin alein afilu shalo kederach ha'na'asan. Even though we saw before that everybody agrees when it comes to an Isra Achila, has to be kederach ha'chilasan. And with respect to Hana, we said there is machlokas, whether or not it has to be also kederach ha'na'asan or even shalo kederach ha'na'asan. Abai points out, when it comes to Kilei Kerem, everybody agrees, Akomodim, you don't have to have a Kederach HaNasan. Afilu Shelo Kederach HaNasan, one would be subject to the Isser of Kilei Kerem, Maitaimo, Bishum Delok Sibbe Achila. It doesn't say the word Achila, and therefore, when it doesn't say Achila, you don't care about how it's done, you just care about that there was something done, there was a result, there was some Hanab that was received. So the Gemara now challenges this. Is this really true that you could violate Kilei Kerem Shelo Kederach HaNasan? The Gemara is going to have a long brisa, and from the brisa we're going to see the Gemara is not going to raise this question of a kilei kerem shelo kederach ha'na'asan, which implies that that's not a true point. So what's the question? So again, it's a long brisa. Meisivei isi ben Yehuda omer minayin lebasa b'chalav shehu aser. How do I know that you cannot eat basa b'chalav? The pasuk only says lo sevashel gedi b'chalav imo. You can't cook it together. It says three times, but it doesn't say achila anywhere explicitly in the Torah. So how do you know you can't eat basa b'chalav? It's Nemar Kan Kiam Kadosh Ata. It says by Bas Bechal the words Kiam Kadosh. And Nemar, it says Lahalan by the Isser of eating Trefa. It says the Pasuk, I read the whole Pasuk, Va'anshe Kodesh Tunli, Ubas Basada Trefa, Loso Chelu Kelev Tashlichun Oso. The Gzeir Shava Kadosh by Bas Bechal and Kadosh by Trefa to teach me Ma Lahalan Aser, just like by Trefa, it's Aser to eat. Afkan Aser, it's also Aser to eat. Bas b'chalav. Ve'ainli ella b'achila. I only know it's aser to eat bas b'chalav. How do I know b'na minayin that it's also aser to benefit from bas b'chalav? So Gemara says amris kavachomer ma arla. Now we're doing a different topic, a third category. Arla, which is the first 3 years of a fruit tree. You can't eat the fruit of the first 3 years. It's arla. Ma arla shlo nevda ba avera yet asura b'hana. There's no avera. When you have a fruit tree, you plant it. There's no iser planting it, but it happens to be aser b'hana. So no avera is done to the arla, yet there's an iser na. Bas b'chalav shenevda b'aver, that there was an avera, in that you cook them together, there's an iser bishul. So certainly if an iser was done, eino din she'u aser b'hana, certainly it should be subject to an iser hana. So the Gemara says, so no, you can't learn the iser. So okay, right now, iser achila, a bas b'chalav is learned from trefa, iser hana is learned from arla. So Gemara says, can you really learn iser hana from arla? Mala arla, shekein lo ha'isa lo shas ha'kosher. Tomer b'bas b'chalav shayisalok shas kosher. Arla never had shas kosher. The moment Arla came into the world, you grew an apple tree, you grew a whatever, an orange tree. The moment it came in, it was aser. There's never a shas kosher. There's never a moment where that was actually mutati. But bas b'chalav, before you mix them together, before you mix together the meat and the milk, each one independently were mutter. So just because there's a iser na by Arla, because there's another chumra, there was never a shas kosher. At bas b'chalav, there was a shas kosher. Now, there's an interesting point here about the shas kosher of bas b'chalav. Rashi points out, Tomer b'bas b'chalav, two lines down, sheyesh lo shas kosher, kodem shenitam b'chalav. Before you place the meat in the milk, each one was independently actually kosher. Rashi Menachas points out, even when you put them in together, it's still mutter until you've actually cooked it. When you put milk and meat together at a derisa level, that does not create an iser. It's only when you mevashle it. So it takes it a step further. Even if you put it together, is it going to be still mutter, and it's not until you actually cook it. So Mar Mechalava points out here, one of the Rishonim here in the Pesachim, he says, it has to be talking about when you mix the meat and milk together in the same pot without cooking it. Because if you're talking about meat and milk here, there's nothing to talk about. That's not bas b'chalav here. When the meat's over there, the milk said, that's not called shas kosher. Shas kosher is when you put it together, yet it's still mutter. That's the point. Okay, either way, there was a point in time where bas b'chalav was mutter, so it doesn't mean you should take on the chumrah of isar na, because arla is a chumrah that arla never had a shas kosher. So Gemara says, nope, not true. We're not bothered by the fact that arla had a shas kosher, because chametz b'pesach yochiach shehaya lo shas kosher va'aser b'hana. Pesach, chametz rather, chametz right now is mutter. It's shas kosher. When Pesach comes, it becomes aser and aser b'na. So just like chametz b'pesach had a shas kosher, yet it's aser b'na, we shouldn't be bothered by bas b'chalav that had a shas kosher, and it could also become aser b'na. So Gemara says, no, you can't use chametz b'pesach as a model because pesach shekein, model chametz b'pesach shekein anush karis. It's much more serious here. There's an iser karis. So if there's an iser karis for chametz and there's iser na, doesn't mean you could extend that to bas b'chalav, which has no iser karis and doesn't have an iser na either. So Gemara says, Tomer b'bas b'chalav she'eino anush karis. So Gemara said, okay, so we can't learn from Chametz because Chametz has an Isser Karis, so it might have another Chumrah of Isser Bahana. But Kilei Kerem Yochichu, we'll learn from there, She'ein Anish Karis V'Aser Bahana. So we see, Karis has nothing to do with the Isser Hana. Arla has no Isser Karis, yet there's an Isser Hana, so we shouldn't be bothered by Bas Mechalov not having an Isser Karis, yet it could still be Aser Bahana. So that's the back and forth. Fine. Now the Gemara says, V'im Yisav, it's really true that we said Kilei Kerem is Aser Afilu Shelo Keder Hanasan. The Gemara should have asked from that point. V'im Yisav, Nifroch Mal Kilei Kerem, Shekein Lokin Alein Afilu Shelo Keder Hanasan. And that should be a different reason why we can't learn Isser Hana a Bas Mechalov from Kilei Kerem, because Kilei Kerem is unique, that Afilu Shelo Keder Hanasan. So Gemara says, that's the question why he brought this whole long brisa. But by Tomer, what would Abai's response be? The Bas Mechalov, She'ein Lokin Alav El Derech Hanasan, are you going to tell me Bas Mechalov is different, that Bas Mechalov is only Aser if you have it Derech Hana? No. Atu, Bas Mechalov, Achila Ksibbe, did it say Achila by Bas Mechalov? Bas Mechalov is a second exception. Just like Kilei Kerem, you can eat it, you can violate it. Afilu shlo keder chanasan. So to Bas Mechalov is aser bana afilu shlo keder chanasan. From the fact that it doesn't say the Isra achila, word achila in the Torah. So that's not a question. That's why they didn't raise the question. Because it wasn't relevant. Because Bas Mechalov and Kilei Kerem are both equal with respect to shlo keder chanasan. V'idach, the one who did bring this price as a challenge, who thought Bas Mechalov is only aser keder chanasan, what's his response? He says no. Even though it doesn't say achila by Bas Mechalov, idach the kamosiv law, the one who asks the question to Abai, saver lahachi who kagamer min nevela. Well, since we learned the isra achila from nevela, so you can extend it not only to the isra achila, but man nevela only derech hanasa af Bas Mechalov derech hanasa. So there's machlokas between Baye and the Shoel here whether or not Bas Mechalov is subject to only derech hanasan or afilu shaloka derech hanasan. That's really the nekudas of machlokas here. The Bai responds back, he says, no, in the end of the day, even though we learned this achila from Nevela, in the end of the day, l'hachila kasav achila begufay. That's the very reason why the Torah didn't use the word achila by Bas Mechalov to teach me this point, lomar, shalokin alav afilu shaloka derech hanasan. So what comes out from the maskana of the Gemara is, and we pass in this way, that Bas Mechalov and Kilei Kerem are the only two exceptions where everybody agrees that afilu shaloka derech hanasan, one would still violate the Isser of Kilei Kerem and Bas Mechalov as well. Now, an interesting point that Tosis points out in Chulin, he asks a question. Based on the Shak L'Tai of Chametz and Bas Mechalov, there's a Kav HaChomer that one could say that if Chametz is Aser B'Karis, we should apply a Kav HaChomer to Bas Mechalov as well. He has this Kav HaChomer. He says you can't to the Kav HaChomer because Ein Onshin Me'adin. Just because it applies to Chametz doesn't mean you can extend Iser Karis to Bas Mechalov. Ein Onshin Me'adin. Now, Tferes Yaakov asks, what do you mean? Ein Onshin Me'adin only applies to when Bezdin is trying to apply a Mises Bezdin. If this case is Skila, certainly that case is Skila. But Karis, which is Bidei Shemaim, that's not a shot of Ein Onshin Me'adin. We're not applying the Karis here. And therefore, he doesn't think that that's correct to say that. He thinks Onshin Me'adin would apply by that which is Karis. So he brings a different reason why we know Aser Bas Mechalov is not subject to a Karis based on a Kav HaChomer. But Rav Yosef Engel talks about whether or not you apply Ein Onshin Me'adin to Karis. Depends on the nature we spoke at yesterday. Why do we say Ein Onshin Me'adin or not? If it's about Shema Yesh Pircha, that maybe my Kav HaChomer has a flaw in it, because I can make my own Kav HaChomers, well, that wouldn't apply to Karis, because we're not really administering a Karis. We could apply it and say it's true, but won't really affect it because it's not Shema Yesh Pircha. But if it's simply just a Midah Shenatar Nejeshbem, it's just a Midah, so then that would apply equally to a Mises Bezdin as well to a Karis as well. Comes an interesting point, just a parenthetical discussion. No, but chatas is not called a onesh. Chatas is a kapara. Okay, so now the Gemara says, v'lifroch, back in Sinai, let's ask the following question. Malak kilei kerem, shekein lo ha'yisa lo shasa kosher. So why don't we ask the question, kilei kerem also doesn't have a shasa kosher. We had above that Orla had no shasa kosher. The moment the fruit tree begins to grow, it's usher. Bas Mechalov and Chametz did have a shas kosher, but Kilei Kerem also had a shas kosher. So this is a just side question, just for a moment. Kilei Kerem, I have vines, I have grape seeds, whatever you put in, and wheat seeds. Before I mix them together, it's shas kosher, and then they grow together. So why don't we say there is a shas kosher there as well? Why do we ignore shas kosher? We have to go, oh, let's look at Chametz of Pesach. That has shas kosher. No, Kilei Kerem itself had a shas kosher where the wheat seeds and the grape seeds were separate. Those had a shas kosher. So the Gemara says, because the following din is true. It really didn't have a shas kosher. Amar Rabbi Ada bar Ava zosa meris kilia kerem ikarin nesarin hol v'hayis alan shas kosher kodem hashrasha. So we learn the following chiddush here, that the ikar, the roots, the havamina here is that everything below the ground is actually remains kosher. The grapevines and the wheat vines, only whatever grows above ground becomes usser. That's the havamina. So Gemara says there's a shas kosher. The seeds were always and the seeds remain mutter. And Gemara says no. When the grapes and the wheat begin to grow, not only do the growth, the gidulim become usser, but even the current, even the roots in the ground, not retroactive, but they also transform. So the seeds that still remain in the ground, those become usser as well. So that's not really a shas kosher. Just look at Rashi to make this a little bit clearer. Rashi writes first in the question, v'lifroch malak kilia kerem shekein l'hayis alayhem shas kosher, v'kasak adaitach shein ne'asarn ela gidulen. The havamina here is, only that which grows together is usser, v'lachein l'hayis alayhem shas kosher. So the gidulim above the ground, which came into existence, they're new, they came only as gidulim, as an iser. They never had a shas kosher. We're not even addressing the seeds. Only above the ground, they came in iser as they came into the world. So those had never had a shas kosher. But Zosemeris, the Gemara says that no, midilo parachim, the fact that we don't ask this question, shmamina killer kerem ikarn ne'esar, that the roots become aser, af ikar hazriya atzma ne'esar, even the seeds themselves become aser when they start growing together. In other words, Kila Kerem did have a Shas Kosher, right? The Gemara said above, the Gemara implied that Kila Kerem did not have a Shas Kosher. And the Gemara says, no, it did have a Shas Kosher. That's why we didn't ask the question, because the Zriah, the seeds, were kosher. And when they became Asr later on, they changed. But it did have a Shas Kosher. We're not only addressing the Gidulim, we're even addressing the Ikarin, the roots and seeds that are in the ground. So now the Gemara says, Mesid Rav Shmaya. This one's a little bit tricky, this case here. Mara says, Hamavir atitz nakuf bikarim. If, let's say, you have an atitz nakuf, which is a plant which has a little hole in it. The din is, we assume that if you have a perforated plant, top pot, is able to yonik from the ground, it can nourish from the ground, but if it's completely closed, there's no hole, then it can't. So if I have, let's say, a wheat growing in my pot, and I have a vineyard below, a karim below, if there's a hole, it's going to nurture the plant, and it's going to grow, and it's going to become kilia karim. So Gemara now says, Hamavir atitz nakuf bekarim. I take a pot with wheat, which is nakuf, has a hole in it, and I pass it over the karim. And in that, let's say it goes very slow, and begins to grow. So now it gets some yanika from the karim, from the kilia karim now it becomes. So what's the din? So forget the numbers. The numbers, if you're a math guy, this might make sense. If not, I don't want to get into the ideas here. But if the plant grows to a significant amount, there's a din of bittul. The bittul way it works, if there's a little small iser of a kilia karim, but there's 200 times that which is mutter, then it's batal. 200 times the iser, it's mutter. If there's less than 200 times, then it's all aser. That's the din. So if it grows imhosif, when you pass the atitz nakuf over the kerem, it grows imhosif masayim, which is referring to, I don't want to claim those who could copy here, if the seed that's aser grows to 200 times its seed, which means whatever remained there does not have the ability to now be mevatal it. If it grows that significant amount, then it's aser. There's no longer bittul. Hosef, the Gemara Tamadaik, Hosef in, only if the pot, that which in the pot grows more, is it Aser, mean the Iser grows more, there's no longer a Bittul, but low Hosef, low. But if it doesn't grow more, that's actually not Aser. So what's the question here? The Gemara seems to imply right now that when it comes to Hosef, we're only concerned with the Gidulim, that which grows, only that's Aser, implying that which is in the ground, the Ikarim, and the Zera of the seeds of the plants, are not usr. Now, we just said above that not only are the gidulim usr, but even the karm, even the zera in the ground is usr. This price seems to apply. When you have the mavir atitz nakif, it's only the hosaf, only gidulim become usr, but the karm remain mutter. Right? That's the habamin right now. Because again, what if anything grows right now, so what's the davar mutter right now? What's davar mutter to speak of? Davar mutter is the karm, that whatever's in the ground, the roots remain mutter. They don't change to davar usr. So why not? We just said before, the karm do transform to davar isr. So, do we say ikarim are aser, or do we say they're mutter? And the Gemara says it depends on the case. The answer is, if it's in the ground, we'll say, I'll say outside, in the ground, ikarim become aser. If it's on a pot, the ikarim actually are mutter. Let's see how that works. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Trei, Krai, Ksivi. There are two different psukim. Iksiv, one pasuk is Hazera, Uksiv HaMalaya. Hazera implies the seeds become aser, Malaya implies only the gidulim become aser, but not the seeds. What's the difference? Ketzah, HaKetzad. Zaru mekara bashrasha, zaru uba hosef in, lo hosef lo. So if it's talking about, if it was planted initially, so then the din would be that only the, if zeru meikar, if you planted it initially together, if I have a vineyard, and I place my chita seeds, or whatever, kernels in the ground, it was zeru in the kerem itself, so then even the hashrush, even the root will become aser. That was the previous case. But if I had them planted separately in a pot, my wheat was in my pot separately, and then I came to add on top of the kerem, there we say only the hosafa, only the gidum are aser, but the zera remains mutter. That's the difference. Again, zeru meikar, if you planted it initially in the kerem itself, so it was mamish me'urav in the kerem, that's bashrash, even the roots will become aser. But if zarua, if it was planted separately, and ba host ba, and then you brought it into the kerem afterwards in the pot, which is the case of the mavir, atzitznakav, that we say only the hosif in, only the gedulim become aser, below hosif lo, but the whatever is not the gedulim remains actually mutter. So that's what the Gemara said. That was all, again, a side point about how kilia kerem works. We're going to get back now to our point of getting hana from that which is aser. Everyone good? Excellent. So the Gemara now, there are some interesting questions, but I don't want to lose anyone on this. No, over, it can over the ground. I don't know how far away, but it has to be over the ground where it could somehow be yonic in a certain way. I'll raise one point, why not? Okay, so Gemara points out, there's a concept in general, kama batal. So I've got a huge pot of chuln. I drop a little milk in. So the shishim of the chuln pot to the milk, it's called kama batal. I pour a little bit more milk, kama batal. Now even though I end up pouring a ton of milk in it, but each time I drop, it's a kama batal. Now, eventually, there's a question whether it's chozer veneer, not for now. But there's a kama bato. One by one, a little bit, it's bato. Now, here, how could you ever have gidulim aser b'kliya kerem? It grows slowly, right? I first slowly grow it. It's a kama bato. A little more, kama bato. Each little bit it grows, it's minuscule compared to the rest of it. So how do you ever have where it's going to be bato? That's a question we showed him answer, ask. So a few answers that are brought, I'll just bring the Ramban. Ramban points out, we only say kama bato when the initial chumpat remains the same. But here, when the plant grows, it's not just like a little bit growing. Even the stems get bigger. Everything about it changes. It gets wider, it gets taller. The whole mixture gets entirely changed, and therefore you can't call it kama bato. Kama bato is when milk falls into meat. Here, the whole mixture is changing and growing, and that would not be an application of kama bato. That's the Esai Tosas Rids. That's his understanding. But there are other explanations, but that's, I thought, one interesting answer. Fine. Now back to the general point of this parak here about that which is aser banav. Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mechol Misrapin, Chutz Miatzei Asherah." Everyone's allowed to get use whatever you need for hana for refuah purposes, except for Atzei Asherah. Now, Atzei Asherah, right now, it's not talking about Avodah Zarah, where it's Avodah Zarah where you're chayv. Getting hana from an itzer Atzei Asherah is an iser lav. It's from Avodah Zarah, a tree that was worshipped. It's a Asherah tree, and to worship the tree would be Avodah Zarah. To get hana from the tree would only be an iser lav. So, mamish to do Avodah Zarah, you can't do that to save one's life. That we know. But this is an outgrowth of Avodah Zarah. We'll see what the actual Isser is in just a moment. But the Gemara says, "V'chol misrapin chutz me'atzei asher." Why not? What's wrong with it? So Rashi points out here, if you look at Rashi, last two lines, which one do I want here? Actually, we'll wait. Rashi at the end is going to say. We'll get to the rest of the Gemara, then we'll go through Rashi. So Gemara says, "Chutz me'atzei asher, heichidami." What's the exact case why you can't get hana from atzei asher? The guy's about to die. He's in place of sakana. You should be able to benefit from that shera tree. It's not a vodah zarah mamish, it's a lav. So you could do whatever you need to do, any lav, to save yourself from dying. So that certainly would be permitted, even atzei shera tree. The idaleka sakana, if the guy is not in danger of dying, afilu kol isrum shibator nami lo. So then you can't get any hana. If you're not in danger, you can't just start eating treif and whatever you want just to get better if you're not in a case of sakana. So Gemara says, liolam dika sakana. Really? There is an iser. The guy is deathly ill. V'afil hachi atzei asherah lo. We still don't let a person use an atzei asherah tree to heal himself. Why not? It's not mamash avodah zarah. The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, im nemar b'chol nafshecha, lama nemar b'chol moldecha. If you have to give up your soul, why did you say go meldecha, give all your money up? V'im nemar b'chol meldecha, lama nemar b'chol nafshecha. This is a Gemara that appears a couple of times. Ela lo melcha, to teach you. Im yesh adam shegufo chaviv alav. Some people care more about their body than their property. So you have to give up your nefesh. You have to be moser nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yesh adam shimamona chaviv alav migufo. Some people care more about their property, their money, than their body. You have to be willing to give up all your money to protect yourself for the shem shemayim. So chol nafshcha means even though really I don't have to really give up my life because it's not really avodah zarah. But we learn from the drasha, but chol nafshcha, that in this particular case, one has to avoid from atzeret tree. What's so bad about atzeret tree? So Rashi points out here. Look at Rashi. Rashi says last two lines here. Bechol mirsrapim, afilu beisra na. A person is allowed to use it for refuah, except for the case of atzeret asherah tree. Says Rashi, lama nema bechol moldecha yomar hachaviv mishem vidayo. Mefarish le fishapamim. Sometimes a person likes this. His mind is more important. Sometimes his body is more important. To love your borei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yosher min achaviv alecha, more than yourself. When you benefit from atzeret tree, it seems like you're admitting to avodah zarah, and that's why we say step away. It's not mamash avodah zarah, but it appears that way. Therefore, a person has to refrain from doing so. Tosus says something similar. Tosus writes the last Tosus on the page here. Chutz me'atzei ashera. Nira l'ri. D'mari kagon she'ein yachol l'shape mishar etzim. It has to be a case where you can't it's dafka, that a special tree you need. And that tree happens to be ashera tree. If there were other trees, there wouldn't be a shayla. You have to use another tree. That's not ashera tree. But elabazu, this is the only one. Kagon ayidei shedim oshum davar acher. Some type of, I don't know, witchcraft, some shedim that you're trying to use this tree for. D'asi l'mite baser avodah zarah. Since using asherah tree will come to lead a person to do avodah zarah, that's why it's asr. So Rashi says it sounds like you're admitting to avodah zarah. Tosa says it might lead you to avodah zarah. Different concern is why you cannot use an asherah tree even for medicine. But again, it's not mamish avodah zarah. It's more types of siyagim that they point out. Now Rabbeinu Yonah actually says benefiting from an asherah tree is actually avodah zarah. He has his understanding when we talk about the big three, that one must give up their life. For the big three, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, Gilai Raios, it doesn't mean only those three. They're even Abizrael, which means extension. I spoke about this Friday night, Hamabim Pnei Chaver Barabim, embarrassing someone is an extension of Shvichas Damim. So too, benefiting from an Asherah tree, although it's not a Isser Misa, but there's a lav, benefiting from an Asherah tree is called an Abizrael. It's called an extension of Avodah Zarah. So it's not just simply it looks like Avodah Zarah, it's Mamish Avodah Zarah in the understanding of Rabbeinu Yonah. Either way, what comes out from this is you could benefit from anything for refuah purposes, with the exception of an asherah tree. Gemara now, last two lines of the Amud says, Ki yasa Rabin, when Rabin came back from Eretz Yisrael, he reported, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he always quoted Rabbi Yochanan, B'chol misrapin, chutz me'avodah zarah, v'gilei raios u'shvichas damim. He extended the limitations that you cannot use any of these three categories, even if it comes for refuah purposes. So Gemara wants to know, how do you know these three? What's the source that you cannot benefit from these three, even to save one's life? So avodah zarah hadamrim, we just learned from that whole discussion by asherah tree that you can't benefit from asherah tree, certainly from actual avodah zarah, you should not be able to benefit from, even for refuah purposes. How do you know that you cannot use or violate gilei raios to save one's life? Gilei raios ushvichas damim, how do you know? D'tanya, Rebbe Omer, ki kasher yokum ish al re'eu v'ratzcho nefesh kein adavar zeh. So this is talking about in the context of Namurasa, a woman who's engaged and she's being violated, so there's an isser raios in that case. And the Gemara, passing that context, connects the Gila Raios of an Ara Murasa to Ratzcha Nefesh, to murder. What's the connection? V'chima inin rotzeach etzel Nara Murasa. Why is the pasuk talking about murder in the context of a Nara Murasa who's being violated? Hareze balum lelamed v'nim talamed. It's coming to teach and to learn. Makesh rotzeach l'Nara Murasa ma Nara Murasa nitan latzil b'nafsho. A person, you see, a person who's being a boel, a person who's violating an Nara Murasa, you could save her by killing the rode, by killing him. If you see a murderer chasing a guy, you could kill the murderer to save. The murderer is a rodef, just like the one who's violating a namuras is a rodef. So to rotech a rodef, you could kill the guy to save the girl. You could kill the murderer to save the victim. That's one direction. Now the flip side, we could learn the following as well. Just like a murderer, the din is a person should be killed instead of violating the ritzicha. A guy puts a gun to my head and says, either kill Reuven or I'm going to kill you. I should not kill Reuven. Each person should give up their life. Yagva yavor. So just like one must give up their life to avoid shvichas damim, af nara murasa, tehara gvali tavor. A person should give up his life and not violate gilei raios. So how do we know shvichas damim itself? Right, shvichas damim is the source. That your person should give up the life, and we're extending that to Nar Marasa and other Arayos. How do we know Shvichas Damim itself, one must give up their life to avoid murdering someone else? So Shvichas Damim Gufei Minalam. Svarhu, it's sensible. Ki hahu da asala kame de Rava. A person once came to Rava, Amrle, Mari de Rai, Amrle, a certain person said to me, Zil kale lepalnya, kill Ploni, kill Reuven. Vilo, kani lach, and if you don't kill him, I'll kill you. So what should I do? Amrle, liktilacha, velo tiktal. So I said to him, I'll kill him. I'll kill you, and you won't kill me. So my chazis, the dame, didach, somek tvei, dilma, dame dahu, gavir somek tvei. Why should I kill him? Who said that my blood is more redder than his blood? Maybe his blood is redder than my blood. You have no idea whose neshama is higher than the other neshama. And therefore, a person should not kill someone else's life to save his own life, because we never know whose blood is redder than the other's. And just like one should not give up their own life, rather a person should give up their own life to avoid murder, so too a person should give up their own life to avoid Gila Rios. So now we found the three sources of Yagra Yavor by Avodah Zarah, Gila Rios, and Shvichas Damim, and that's the cloud, B'chol Mesrapim, Chutz, me, these big three. And the reason why these big three, Ron points out in Masechet Sanhedrin, these are very, very severe averos. The chomer of the avera is what dictates that these are three averos that one must give up their life, as opposed to violating. Okay. Gemara now says, halfway down the Amud here, Mar Bar Rav says that Ashkecha l'Ravina d'shayif l'Barte, that he one time, he found Ravina was rubbing some oil of his daughter of a Buguharki d'Arla, which Rashi points out is some of the olive oil from unripe, underdeveloped olives. You have this type of olive oil, and it's very good for refuah. And Rashi points out here, Guharki d'Arla, boser, zesim katanim, you're squeezing out some of the small olives, mishim refuah, the kasavar mutter, lisrapos bisarna. We already learned that I'm an olive. You could use anything you want for refuah purposes, unless it's one of the big three, or any extension of that. So Amalei, Amar, the Amar Rabbanan B'Shas HaSakana. Shlo B'Shas HaSakana Mi'amar. Granted, you could use these items of Isser Na if a guy is in danger, if your daughter is a B'Sakana. But she's not B'Sakana. You can't just stam use it for medicine. There has to be a reason for doing so. So Amalei, Hai Ishta, Tzimir Sanami K'Shas HaSakana Damya. Apparently she had a very high fever. Rashi points out that her temperature was very high, and that's called Shas HaSakana. And for that reason, it was worthy of using the Isser Na. Now, it's interesting, Din, that when it comes to Birchas HaGomel, the post can talk about at what point is a person required to say Birchas HaGomel? What's considered a dangerous situation when a person is very ill? One of the instances where one says Birchas HaGomel, if he's a chola, or if she's a chola, and she's nisrape, you say Birchas HaGomel. So one of the big questions when someone had COVID, was that considered significant enough for a person to say Birchas HaGomel after they healed from the corona? So the Mishabur points out, if a person has a high fever for a few days, so one should say Birchas HaGomel. So it can be a Shas Sakana. I just wonder, Bizman Azeh, people get flu all the time, and flu is not considered very dangerous. People die from flu. People die from all types of diseases and viruses. But people get flu for a few days, a high fever. I don't think nowadays, I don't think would be considered stam shasa sakana. One could question whether coronavirus is, maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe it depends who you are. Maybe it depends on the age. Maybe it depends on how you dealt with it. I certainly know people who died, and people who almost died from it. So either way, we see a high fever in general in halacha does have significance of shasa sakana, both with Birchas HaGomel and also with respect to using an Isser Hana to help for their refuah.
Unless you're Sephardi.
What do you mean?
It's the Garmel
Fevri. Okay, could be. So, okay, all right. So then the Gemara says, Igadami, others say, Amar Lei Midei Derech Hana Kavde. So, no, the only time it's us to benefit from an Isser Hana if it's Derech Hana Asan. We learned that before, if it's Shaloka Derech Hana Asan, that's actually Mutter. So apparently to rub this olive oil of Arla on the skin, it's not Derech HaNasan, and for that reason, it would be mutter, even if it's not a Shas HaSakana. Okay, let's finish off the Amud. Now this piece here, it's a little bit tricky, and the Gemara says as follows. Itmar. Hana haba lo le'adam bal karcha. The person, Hana, comes to a person against his will. So the question is he allowed to benefit from that Hana, or does he have to put himself in a situation to avoid it? So again, Hana haba lo le'adam Ba'karcha, what's the din? So Abai Amar, Muteris, the Rav Amar, Asura. So Rashi explains here, Muteris, Ein Tzarech Lifro Shimanu. Let's say, I don't know, a person's walking down the street and he smells a beautiful basar b'chalav from the local store. Does he have to avoid it? It came Ba'karcha, he's just walking down the street. Is he mutter to stay in that situation? Or is it Asur, he has to go 10 blocks the other direction? Yeah. So that's a good question. Gemara's going to talk about, is it tomorrow's daf? Could be tomorrow's daf or coming up, whether or not smell, yeah, next daf, reach is considered hana or not. But that could be. What? You certainly say bracha, yeah. And the Gemara talks about the hatana, the sort, no, but fruit, stam fruit, smelling anything. The Gemara says, you say bracha on him. It's saying, how do you say bracha? It's a bracha sanenim. So Gemara says, what's the bracha you say? What's the source do you say bracha on smell? The Gemara says, kal neshama, talakaluka. Eza hana shel neshama, reach. So there's a certain hana. Now, whether it's subject to Mi'ila, the Gemara is going to address tomorrow, but smell alone would be a problem of Hana. So a guy's walking down the street. He smells some nice basma chalef, which us brought up. Is that a problem? Or chametz? You're walking on Pesach, and you smell a bakery. Is that a problem? A non-kosher bakery, is that a problem of getting hana? So do you have to avoid it? Or no, it's muteris. It's bal karcho. It comes against your will. So by amar muteris, rav amar asura. So Gemara explains. Now these are different permutations. So we'll take it slow, and then there's going to be an ikad amri to make it a little bit confusing. So don't try to put everything together. Look at each ikad amri separately. So in the first ikad amri is as follows. Efshir v'kam mechavin lav lo. If the guy is able to avoid it, and yet he doesn't, and has kavana to get hana, lo. That's not allowed, right? The guy is going down it's Pesach, he's going down the local bakery, the non-kosher bakery. He's able to avoid it, and he gets you know, hana, the chametz, that's certainly us. Everybody agrees you have to avoid that. Lo efshir, the kemechavin, if he's not able to avoid it, he's on the train. He can't leave the train at this point. He's on the train, and there's a bakery smell coming in, it's Pesach, so and kemechavin, but he says, you know what, I'm here anyways. Delicious, smells great. So lo efshir, but mechavin, what's the din? Kuyama lo pligi, the aser. So everybody agrees that's aser as well. You can't have kavana. You're having kavana for the iser, and that's a problem. So Gemara then says, lo efshir, v'lo chamechavin, kuyama lo pligi, the shari. If he's not able to avoid it, and he doesn't have kavana, that's certainly permitted. The guy's stuck on the train. He's not interested in the kavana of the bakery, so that's certainly allowed. It's against his onus. So when do they argue? Ki pligi de efshir, v'lo chamechavin. If he's able to avoid it, but he doesn't, and he also doesn't have kavana, he doesn't care for it, that's where there's a machlokas. Valiba de Rabbi Yehuda, damar, in general, Rabbi Yehuda holds, davar she'en miskavein aser, when he holds by Shabbos, or anything else, that davar she'en miskavein is aser, even though I don't have intention for it, but I still accomplish something, but I don't have a care for it, it's still aser. Chuyama lo pligi de aser, here as well as aser, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care about kavana. If I do an iser on Shabbos, and there's no kavana, it's still aser. Davar shemus kavan is aser. So if I'm on a train, even though I have no kavana for it, I'm still getting hana, that's aser according to Rabbi Yehuda. So that wasn't a shaila in the world of Rabbi Yehuda. When were they arguing? In the world of Rabbi Shimon. Ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Damar davar shein miskaven mutter. If I do an iser and Shabbos, but I don't have kavana for the outcome, that's mutter. So Abaye says, here as well, Rabbi Shimon, if it's efshir v'lo kamechavin, I have no kavana for it. So it's like Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter, there's no violation. But Rav Amar, no, ad kan lo kama Rabbi Shimon ela heichad lo efshir v'heichad efshir lo. When does Rabbi Shimon say no kavana is mutter? When it's lo efshir, when you can't avoid the situation, so you can't avoid it, there's no kavana, it's fine. But if it's a case we're able to avoid efshir, and the fact that there's no kavana there doesn't change anything. You should avoid it either way. And in this case, Rabbi Shimon would actually say it's usur, even though there's no kavana, because it would be efshir to avoid. That's the first man damer, the first ikadamer. Okay, a little bit confusing, but that's what comes out from this. Now, I'll just add an interesting question to come out of Rabbi Zilberstein. It's a fascinating shaila based on these topics here about a person's kavana for particular mitzvahs. He raises it on the following point here. He says, let's say, you know, the guy's on the train, and, you know, he's able to have kavana for the chametz, not able to have kavana for the chametz. Let's say the following situation. The guy says he's on a diet. And we know part of dieting, the new dieting, intermittent fasting is very helpful for dieting, they say. 18 hours, whatever, the 12 hours, whatever you do for intermittent fasting. Let's say Yom Kippur comes around. He says, perfect, this is great for my fasting, great for my diet. Is that going to be a pagam somehow in his fasting? He's having a mind for Yom Kippur. He's also having a mind for his fast. He can't avoid it. He happens to, it's helping his diet. Is that going to be, that extra kavana, going to be a violation of his pure fasting for Yom Kippur? So Reb Zilberstein says it's not a problem of doing so. He says we have many places that although a person does a mitzvah, you can also get a physical benefit from it as well. He quotes the very last taz in all of Choshen Mishpat. The Shulchan Aruch says a person should avoid any nizikin, should not put himself in any situation of being mazik someone else or being mazik himself. And those who do, tavol bracha, he should have a bracha for avoiding any type of damage. The taz points out, based on the pasuk, he says, and pasuk in Shir Shirim, not only does he avoid nizikin, but he also gets a schar of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect him over. So we see that even though he's avoiding the Isser of Nezek, which is Stam, you should avoid Nezek simply because Hashem told you to avoid it, you also get some schar for doing it. You're getting reward for doing so. Another point he says that when it comes to putting up a mezuzah, the Gemara tells him mezuzah protects a person. So let's say a guy says, I'm putting the mezuzah up to protect me, not just for the mitzvah, but also as a shmir. Is that a problem? The Marshal says, of course it's fine. That it tells us that the mezuzah is there to protect us as well as a mitzvah. If a guy says, I'm putting the mezuzah only for the shmirah, but not for the mitzvah, that's a problem. But the guy puts up the mitzvah for the mezuzah, for the mitzvah, plus the shmirah, that's completely fine. So if the guy wants to fast for Yom Kippur, and also for his dieting, that's completely fine. Even though the kavanah is for both, he does not feel that it impacts the purity of the fasting of Yom Kippur. Fine. Back to the next ikadamri. Now the Gemara says, ikadamri, efshir v'lo k'mechavein haynu pluksayu de b'hudu Rabbi Shimon. If it's a case where he's able to avoid the iser, but he doesn't have kavanah, so it's davar sheinu miskaven. That's the goof of the machlokes Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Huda says that's aser, davar sheinu miskaven is aser, and Rabbi Shimon says davar sheinu miskaven is mutter. If it's a case of a low efshir, v'lo k'mechavein, if it's a case where he can avoid it, and he's not having kavanah, then kuliyama lo pligi d'shari, that's permitted, because he's stuck on the train, and he has no kavanah, he's having no kavanah for the smell of the bakery, that's all permitted. He has no choice, that's onus. Ki pligi, when is there machlokes? This is where everything gets flipped on its head now. Ki pligi, d'lo efshir, we can't avoid it. He's on the train now. He's on the train, he can't avoid the smell. The smell is coming through the window. He can't jump off the train. But kamechavin, and yet he has kavana now. So now he has kavana. May as well, once I'm here, may as well, you know, take in the whiff of the chametz and enjoy it on Pesach. That's the machlokes here. Valiba de Rabbi Shimon, da'azil basar kavana, kuliyama lo pligi da'asar. Now here, Rabbi Shimon says aser. Why? Rabbi Shimon says davar shemes kavin is mutter, but davar shemes kavin is going to be aser. So this case where he's mechavin, it's aser. Ki pligi, when did they argue? Aliba de Rabbi Huda, damar lo shna miskavin, lo shna shemes kavin. From the fact that Rabbi Huda says davar shemes kavin is aser means he doesn't care about kavana. If I did a maisa, whether I had kavana or no kavana, it's aser. Kavana is irrelevant. So in Rabbi Huda's world, who says lo shna miskavin, lo shna shemes kavin, efshir, aser, if I'm able to avoid it, so then it's aser, because I should avoid it, because he doesn't care about kavan at all. So Abaye is Rabbi Huda, who says that Rabbi Huda says it would be aser, and then Rava Amar, no, going on to Daf Chavav, and we'll go three lines down. Rava Amar Lecha, Ad Kan Lo Kam Rabbi Huda, Sheimus Kavin, Kimis Kavin, El Lechumer, the only time Rabbi Huda says that Enimus Kavin is like Miskavin, when it's Lechumer. Meaning Ilchel Shabbos. It's also for me to do a Davar Shemes Kavin. There's an Isser. We view Enimus Kavin, Kimis Kavin as a Davar Isser and Lechumra. But as a Kulaba, Miskavin, Kishu Enimus Kavin, Lekula Lo. But would he say that Miskavin is equal to Enimus Kavin, Lekula not? In other words, in this case, if I'm on the train here, so the din would be, do I have to be mafish myself or not? So the din is, if I'm not able to avoid myself, Enimus Kavin is Mutter. Would he also say, Miskavin is also Mutter to stay on the train in that case? Because he equates miskaven and miskaven. Shabbos, I can't do it miskaven, I can't do it ain miskaven. So now in this case, a mutter ain miskaven, I should mutter miskaven as well. Bai says, no. Rava says, no, not true. The only time he equates both is when it's a l'chumra, that Shabbos, I can't do miskaven, nor can I do ain miskaven. When it comes to l'kula, I wouldn't equate the two. Just because ain miskaven might be mutter on the train because I'm stuck, that would not mean it's mutter to also say miskaven should be mutter. In that case, Rava would say it's different. Here, Rabbi Huda would agree it would actually be usher in this case. Okay, I told you a bit confusing. We'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem will continue tomorrow.